Wow, everybody's in the house. How you doing, Scott? Oh, we're good. We're waiting on Rob.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. Okay.
Busy.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. And there he is, the Indianapolis Colts fan himself, Rob.
Yes, the word to what is it pronounced with most emphasis is Colts fan. Colts fan.
That's true. Yeah, Colts fan. Yeah, correct.
Now
you hear about Pittman?
I've seen two different takes on that. The local one yesterday was that Carson Wentz is such a great guy. He just said, "Oh, no, you go ahead and keep number 11." And then what I saw on Fox News feed today was, Pittman not giving up number 11. So we've already got controversy.
Nothing but the best.
Yeah. Pittman better get rid of some decoy routes this season than if that's
Pittman better have. Yeah, he better be the next Randy Moss.
Pull his pants down and moon the tight to moon
That's
the Titans
right.
fans.
There you go.
We're gonna do the commercials on the back end tonight. We got a lot to get to. Good evening, Indianapolis, as Robin Williams would say. So, the NCAA scoreboard. Indiana and Archie Miller may get a buyout this next season in 2022. That's on the table. IU at Michigan State at 7 on Fox Sports 1, and Penn State at Nebraska at 8 on at 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. The big Indianapolis news was, of course, the Carson Wentz trade from the Eagles for quarterback. And I want you guys' feedback on this. And, you know, I've talked with you a little bit about it. And I'm okay with the trade. My thing is, and I talk with this on my YouTube show with my buddy Billy in Houston, I'm okay with the trade. I'm not okay with the picks. And in my opinion, Carson Wentz is the affordable quarterback, which is he really going to take you to the Super Bowl? However, I wish him well.
I'll throw something out there, and it's really just kind of come to light here in the last couple minutes.
Okay.
But wasn't it about a week ago we were getting hit with about 8 to 12 inches of snow in about 8 to 12 hours?
Correct.
Yeah. Well, now it's melting. Everything's melting. And so, but what happened during all of that was my dogs didn't know where to, go number two.
Numero dos.
Yes. Well, my larger dog, of course, that's the way it works. My larger dog did it in a place that is basically my patio. My patio's under there. So
okay.
When that happened a week ago, I was like, okay, I'll get up tomorrow, I'll be frozen, I'll pitch it over into the, you know, the where I know the grass is.
Yeah.
I did not do it.
However,
the snow has melted.
Yeah.
And so there is a pile smack dab in the middle of my patio that now I've still got to deal with. And I think it was the Carson Wentz trade happened during the same time frame.
Yes, and correct.
So yeah, I'm you know, that's the pile I'm having to deal with right now as far as my team. So I'll leave it there.
Wow, that's even more towards the throat than my buddy Craig. He's like, these guys are morons. So, yeah.
I mean, the pile might go away. The pile might stay. And, you know, I might have a great garden next year. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing. If T.Y. Hilton walks, who's he going to throw to besides the tight ends?
Damn.
Who are you going to get to replace Costanza?
Yep.
How you going to shore up your defense?
Yep.
And you coughed up two picks for him?
Well,
what?
here's the other thing, going back to the playoff game, you can't you can't get past bad coaching either. So
yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
All right, we'll see.
And you, then you throw in the Frank Reich connection with Philly, so yeah. Yep. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, not a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean, if Wentz and Reich have this connection that everybody's saying they have, you know, and then maybe it'll work out for the Colts. That trade just, I don't know. To me, it just reeks of desperation on the Colts.
Yeah.
End of it there.
Because my buddy Craig was saying he was healthy for one of his four seasons in Philly.
Yeah.
And on
didn't even play in the Super Bowl.
Right. And on paper, we're all stats guys here. On paper, he's a garbage fantasy quarterback. So, yeah. So, you know, I'm not saying he's garbage. What I'm saying is, stats-wise, he's a backup. So
we know what the trades were, but do we have to wait until the deal is final and formal before we find out what the dollars are? Because that, you know, the Colts spent $40 million on two quarterbacks last year.
The stats are already out there.
Okay.
The dollar figures. Because the way I understand it is the Eagles still owe Wentz money. That's why he was so affordable.
A ton, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the way I understand it. But anyway, so it was warm enough for me to take a walk in the local park. I forgot it was gravel and it was total slop. So lucky didn't lose my basketball shoe, but you know, I made it onto the tennis court and I was good.
I might have a story to match it at least.
Okay.
What was the football team Bobby Boucher was on?
I don't know.
It was the water boy. wasn't the mascot the Mud Dogs?
I possibly.
I think it was. But let's just say it was.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I get the slop. My border collie has been pent up, and that's probably why he took a poop on the patio a few days ago. But
right.
The neighbor dog was out today, and yeah, it's all melting and sloppy, and so he ran and ran and ran and ran and ran, and when he came back in, he was basically covered head to toe in mud, and then he's tracked it everywhere. So,
oh
yeah, yeah,
yuck.
I've got a side project after we're done here, and
you need to go roll him in the snow, brother.
It's going to involve a garden hose and a squeegee and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, so you're taking him to Mike Cruz then?
No,
it's not Mike's. It's Cruz. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just leave the windows open. Oh, yeah. He's one of those dogs like sticking his head out the window.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm doing that. That's an awesome idea.
I can hear the pound calling now.
Yeah, exactly. Is that the SPCA or whatever it is?
Yeah. Yes. So I'm walking around the park and I hear my favorite John Lennon song. And we're doing that tonight. We're talking about music tonight. And there's a story behind this song. Watching the wheels. Don't you miss John Lennon? Don't you miss the big time boy? You're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round. I really love to watch them roll. No longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just had to let it go. And I haven't announced this, but you guys know this. I was terminated, let go in November from my job that I was a 22-year employee from. And that was a huge gut punch for me, but it wasn't a surprise. So putting that into perspective, you know, 3 months later, how I've explained this to people is, the window was opened and I shattered it. So having said that, the next day I got fired on Friday, November 6th at 12:30. The next Saturday morning, guess what song comes in my head by the Beatles? Free as a Bird.
I've got that. Yep, it's a good one.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm on my professor from Ball State, Dr. Joe, told me to get on LinkedIn, and I'm on LinkedIn now. And you'll never guess what former TV news broadcaster contacted me.
Yeah, who?
Remember Angela Kane?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Angela Kane contacted me, and I was like, wow. And she said, I'm happy to be LinkedIn with you, Joe. I said, I used to watch you on TV every night. I think you're really an outstanding broadcaster. And she said, thanks. And she said, how do you like podcasting? And I said, I love it. And I said, if you're thinking about getting into it, you totally control every aspect of it. You can go as long as short as you want, and you don't have to play Michael Bolton like I did in radio. That's such a cool name, Michael Bolton. That must be an honor to work with every day. Do you have that on your nameplate at work?
I almost named the dog that pooped on the patio and just drug half the backyard into my house Michael Bolton. We were going to name the dog Michael Bolton. It's like, that way it'd be roll over Michael Bolton, beg Michael Bolton, bad Michael Bolton.
Did you hear the story about Ashley Judd?
No.
Holy cow. She was in South Africa and almost lost her leg.
No.
She almost lost her leg. There were two tour guides there that put her and strung her into like a tarp and like carried her to the hospital. And she has like 8 pins in her leg now.
Wow.
I was like, Miracle City. Wow. So, yeah, I was like blown away by that. But anyway, I was like, man, talk about thankful. So anyway, we had a couple celebrity deaths here this last week. I want to discuss this with you guys too. This is my experience, and I want your feedback. When I grew up listening to classic hip hop, and when any of these icons or pioneers pass away, it's almost like my brother or family member or sister leaves me. So I don't know if it's like that way with you guys, but Prince Marky D of the Fat Boys, who was only 52, passed away. Chick Corea, jazz great and pianist, who did a lot of work with Herbie Hancock, was 77. And Rush Limbaugh was a 70, and if I understand it correctly, you guys want to do a tribute to him this evening. So for me, he was basically Fox News before Fox News. So go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it's timely. I mean, right now it's 6:15 Eastern time in Indianapolis. It's Eastern time. Right. And ironically, about 4 or 5 hours ago, Fox News came on, and it's pretty much been wall to wall about the Tiger Woods vehicle crash.
What? I knew he got in an accident, but what happened? I don't watch the news.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to tie it in with what you'd mentioned about Ashley Judd, because what we know right now is he had a pretty serious car accident at 7 o'clock California time. It would have been about 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been in surgery. I don't know if he's out or not, but there is reports it was a compound fracture to his leg plus an ankle injury.
Wow.
but basically he's at UCLA getting operated on, and the whole discussion has been about his legacy and you know all the things he's done to change the game and of golf and just you know Tiger Woods watching him play to get back to the question about Rush Limbaugh's passing. Rush Limbaugh obviously was a very controversial figure. Tiger Woods has not been, okay? But I believe what Rush Limbaugh did was there were two sayings that he said that I would follow over the 25 to 30 years that I knew of
right,
him.
Right, sure. Okay? Yeah.
He did pave the way for things like Fox News, but also a lot of discussions of the other side of the coin, but not just the other side of the coin. The fact that there are also edges, an infinite number of edges to that coin. So two of the things that I picked up on and why, you know, his loss has impacted me is he would always either tongue in cheek or deliberately say that his talent was on loan from God. You know, that was a phrase of his that everybody knows if you listen to him for half an hour.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from God. We need more of that. You know, whether it was, you know, whether it's to be to hold up a mirror and say, see, I'm saying it, come get me, or to mean it. We don't have a lot of that anymore. Maybe none of that anymore. So that's one thing that I'll miss about him. The other thing was he admitted almost as regularly as about where his talent's from, that he tried to illustrate the absurd by being absurd and just taking that to the nth degree and proving a point. And at the very end, being logical about it and fair and yeah, controversial. Absolutely. But at the end of the day, there's a reason why he was a pioneer and a path maker for what we have today, which is it's a lot more than just the 24/7 drivel that is fed to us. If one is really willing to look at the larger facets, so that's really what I'm going to miss about what he did. And like Tiger Woods, there will never be another one like him.
Right.
We want to talk about the greatest of all time. Sure. I know that some folks, you know, may want to say, well, he's like Howard Stern, sensationalism, this, that, and the other. Okay, yeah. But as far as, you know, having a legacy, I think Rush Limbaugh's is going to be longer lasting than, let's say, Howard Stern's. But Tiger Woods' legacy for golf, whether he plays another day or not after this it's unmovable. So, and I guess the last thing is, cause I try to get these points in, Tiger Woods was on his way to film a Discovery special, teaching golf to Drew Brees.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Justin Herbert. And, I would have liked to have seen that.
Sure.
two of the greatest of all time, you know, teaching each other, one teaching the other golf, that I would have liked to have seen, but hopefully Tiger Woods will be in good health soon. As far as being able to play another day, he's come back from so much, and hopefully he can do it again.
Scott, do you have any comments on Rush?
I've listened to him every now and then. I don't have a real strong opinion one way or the other. My opinion doesn't go as in depth as Rob's does.
Sure.
I looked at him as a, you know, kind of like what you said, you know, as almost a Howard Stern, like, you know, I think he, you know, he made good points from time to time. I think he was a little obnoxious and over the top for the ratings, just like Stern is. So, but that's my opinion on him.
Let's dig in more on Tiger Woods. Have you guys, have seen the video with him and his dad, right? When he's little, when he's little, play golf and Yeah. He's like killing it on the greens. And he's like 3 or 4.
Yep.
So,
yep.
In my opinion, he is like a, how can I explain this? He's like Halley's Comet. And he was fortunate. He came on like a rock star out of nowhere, more or less. And then he was able to sustain his level of excellence for so long. And I don't know if that was because of his caddy or because of his dad or his mental toughness or his drive or what it was, but I think it was a combination of things. And, you know, I hope he doesn't have to walk away from the game totally, but, you know, he's definitely in the top 5 without a doubt.
Yeah.
So, and the other cool thing is, since this is Black History Month, he taught a whole bunch of African-American kids to play golf, which is a good thing too. So, you know, when you change the game like that, kind of like Michael Jordan, I'm not a Jordan guy, but I respect the guy. When you kind of change the game like that, you have to really respect him. And I'm a fan of Tiger Woods. I'm not a hardcore fan of Tiger Woods, but I'm a fan of Tiger Woods. You know, at the end of the day, he's an amazing golfer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, in the coverage over the last few hours, there's been a lot of folks on, and one of the quotes I heard, as far as where he got it from, from the things I either was reminded of or learned in the last couple hours, his dad was a Green Beret.
Oh.
And Tiger had been through Navy SEAL training.
Oh.
So that discipline and that, you know, stick to it.
Right. Sure.
That was there. But when he, I believe, I don't want to get it wrong, but I do want to get the quote right. I believe it was, after he'd won his first Masters in 1997, they observed two things. Somebody asked him, you know, basically, what does this mean to you? You've changed the game, basically.
Yeah.
Right. And it was tongue in cheek because he had a sense of humor about him. He didn't talk
right.
a lot. It wasn't, I'm wearing a t-shirt because of blank, blank, yep. blank cause.
Yep.
Right. It was, I'm here to do right. what I do. And he did
right.
it. But his response was, you know, and the question was, you know, kind of saying you're the first Black person to win
right.
the Masters. But it wasn't phrased like that, but basically, you know, how are you going to handle this? And his quote was, and it was poking fun at the question was, I'm not going to dress as loud, because up to that point, the more flamboyant you dressed when you were playing golf, the better. It was like Caddyshack with Rodney Dangerfield, you know, that whole thing that, but he never did. It was, you know what? You can dress in khakis and in a polo or shorts and a t-shirt, and everybody else did. And that's what happened. So he brought the game to everybody.
You know, it reminds me a lot of Payne Stewart. I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't end this way. But Payne Stewart was amazing golfer, amazing person. And personally, my grandmother passed away January 31st, and my grandfather, who's been gone since 93, was a golfer, loved game of golf, and he tried to teach it to me, and I just was garbage, so I never picked it up, but my brother did. My brother Ben picked it up, and we would watch golf. We would watch golf, I think, during baseball season, and he would watch that, and I loved all the major golf players, but the one I was most fascinated with was Chichi Rodriguez for the sword play. So, I love Chichi. So, I you know,
mine, but around that time before, you know, I really started watching Tiger was Greg Norman.
Yeah.
The shark. But once Tiger hit it, that was around the time I was trying to start to play, and I understood just how brutally awful I am, and how unbelievably hard the game is. I mean, and the thing is, it's because you're your own worst enemy and your best player, and you're, you know, it's a mental game for me more than anything, and even when I played this last summer with some friends out in Southwest Indiana, I mean, we're horrible hacks, all of us, but there was a shot. It was pretty halfway decent. And, you know, it's become, you know, the saying that's some Tiger Woods blank because he landed it within, you know, the same zip code or something like that. And so,
have you ever heard the George Lopez line about golf?
No.
He says,
it might be what my motto is, but let's hear it.
I make sure I go out and buy the best damn clubs because if I suck, it's all on me.
That's kind of like me, but I compare it and no disparaging intended here, but literally for me, it's like an Easter egg hunt while suffering from Tourette syndrome. That's my golf game.
You better be buying some orange balls, brother.
I got orange ones. I got the yellow green ones. I got, you know.
But here's the thing: I was garbage at golf, but I could rock a putt putt course any day. So,
I've tried to keep track of the stats on that, and you know, I would say one out of three drivers, I get kind of where I hope it will be, probably about a third to a fifth of my middle shots are the same way. And then if I can get it on the green, depending on how far I'm usually a three putter. Doesn't matter. I'm a three putter.
Any other cool golf story I have is I used to live, me and my brother and my mom used to live in Anderson in my Aunt Wilma's old house after she passed away. And it was a high-end house at the time for Anderson, when Anderson was still in the golden era. And my Uncle Paul was a huge golfer. And as a kid, this was the coolest thing I ever saw. He had a three-hole putting green in his full basement. And the third hole had a hill on it, little hill around the cup. And nobody could sink that shot for nothing. So, yeah, it was pretty cool.
I've actually thought about doing stuff like that. You know, you make it to where it's an anthill.
Right,
hill.
Yeah.
And
yes, exactly. Yeah, it's got a nice, 96-inch grade by the cup, right?
Yep.
Excuse me, 96-degree grade by the cup. I'm not a math guy.
The best shot I ever took, and it was around mid-2000s, there was a group of us. We would go out every Wednesday, and we would play nine holes. And because I was the worst golfer, I always got paired up with the best golfer. Because we took the average, and we did put some wagers down, and you know, whoever won got all the rest of the money. So I think we won it actually once, but it was a par three, and the sun's in my face because the sun's going down, and I hit it, and I had no idea where it went. And all of a sudden, I hear people screaming.
Quattro!
And I didn't
Quattro!
Know. yeah. Well, and that's what I thought. I was like, I just killed somebody. But I drive up to the hole, and I finally see it. The ball is 1 to 2 feet away from the hole.
Nice.
I was that far away from a hole in one, and I two-putted.
And the ironic thing about me is my dad and stepmom lived right across the street from a golf course, and my brother hopped the chain link. The chain link pole every time, a million times, and played golf on that one hole a thousand times. I never played once. Never played once. I walked on it all the time. I slid on it all the time. I never played one hole. I might have hit one ball and it was garbage. No, I might have played three holes once and I was like, enough. So
when I was in college, I got to be friends with a guy and his wife. They lived on a golf course, and it was near one of the holes. Their backyard, back porch, basically was the whatever hole. And so he'd be sitting there at different times of the day, and people just be walking past playing golf. And soon after that, they moved. I think it got to be too much.
My dad had a whole bucket of balls that people shanked. Went to the left.
Yeah.
So
the course we played at was surrounded by houses, and they had the screens that bent out a little bit. That way, if it hit the window, it would bounce off. Yeah.
And see, the other thing is, when you're golfing, you don't want to have the Craig Sager factor. Remember him? Craig Sager, the broadcaster for the NBA, who had the most banana suits of all time. Shaq said to his face, you need a new tailor, the whole thing. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about. No, I remember this. Yeah, I remember.
And who was the guy from Indiana that won Crooked Stick? John. Yeah, he had John some Dale. Nasty. He had some nasty pants too. So,
but he could scare some spectators shooting whatever 300-yard drive over their heads. If you get a chance, read his book. It's called My Life in and Out of the Rough. I think he was married seven times at the time.
Him and Elizabeth Taylor, huh? She could rock the eight, so. That's funny.
Yeah, you want to talk about a comma, he burned out really quick, but he got it done that day, so.
I think, did I tell you guys that Toby Mac, the Christian artist, is coming here Thursday to Banker's Life?
I did not know that. I've got some Toby Mac, but I didn't know he was.
I'm like, are you kidding me with that? I'm like, how? How's that going to be safe? Oh, which brings me to the next story. I show up at the local park here in Irvington to do my walk around. And I don't know what high school, but the gentlemen, young men, were wearing tank tops and shorts. And they were playing,
YMCA.
they're too young to know and appreciate that song. They were playing lacrosse. And they were wearing no masks.
Oh, they need to be triple masked now. I mean, that's where we're headed. Triple mask and a full bubble suit, and you know,
the John Travolta bubble suit. Yes,
yes, the bubble the suit, the bubble. quadruple mask at all times.
And when I had my mask on, I got to go to the funeral Saturday, but I would say 85% of the people at the park didn't have a mask.
Yeah, no,
so.
I'm driving my mother Friday morning to get her second vaccine. Yeah. And after that, they just cleared, folks that are 60 plus to get it. And, I'm thinking this thing's going to die a pretty quick death just as fast as it came on. So, to be almost a year out from when I knew it was real, I think you couldn't ask for more. You know, the people that say, "Oh, this is going to go to next year," and da, da, da. No, I don't. Locally, okay. Right. Other states, other cities, other jurisdictions, I cannot speak to. Yeah. But locally, I think that's where we're going to be. And to even have a few folks in the stand to see a Toby Mac concert this soon, I'm okay with
it. Did you guys see where the NCAA is going to allow 25% capacity for the tournament?
I didn't see that. Yeah. Yep. Oh, that's good.
Yep. But Mackey's only going to be, I think they said, 10 to 15%. Yeah, IU's
Wilmington's only allowing 500 fans. So you figure that would take up the coaches and players' families and stuff.
Yeah.
But again, a year ago, they were shutting them down right as it was starting out. And to at least have the family members and or maybe close friends there to be able to be there for it, it's progress.
What's your memory on that, Rob, when they shut everything down downtown? Because I remember clearly what happened. You go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it was for me, it was March 13th. And I was supposed to meet with some external vendors that day, and they had pulled the plug on it because they already knew, being in healthcare, that this was real. So I finished that day. It was a Friday, and I had to go and do my taxes. So did my taxes about 5 o'clock that evening. There was no mask. There was no, there might've been sanitizer, but I remember shaking the hand of my accountant. I believe that's the last stranger's hand I've shaken in almost a year. And then when that was done, I knew I needed to go get some things because you just kind of had a feeling. And I remember going into Sam's Club and it looked like, well, Russia. there was nothing. I mean, nothing.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
But the few things you could find, you know, people were packed up and packed together to get out. No right. masks, no social right. distancing. We knew that people weren't going to be coming back for a month or two, and that's how people yep. were shopping. That's what I remember from that day. And I have, and then I believe it was the following Monday is when the leadership above started realizing that, you know, we'd had a possible exposure over the previous week yeah. or whatever. And I've been in the office once since then, and I had to get permission to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So
I was working in the office that day, and they said, we can't accommodate your normal parking spot. I'm like, okay. So I drove by Lucas Oil to park. And they said the Big Ten tournament's been canceled. You can park in your regular spot. I'm like, what? So I drive all the way from Lucas, and I'm trying to get there by 8 o'clock. Phones come on at 8 o'clock. It's about 7:40. So I have to drive from Lucas Oil to Bankers Life in downtown traffic, which is 15 minutes easy. So I said, hey, I called my supervisor and said, hey, you know, they shut down the Big Ten tournament and you can park. And, you know, I parked in my normal parking spot at Banker's Life and walked in the door. But we worked in building one, and they shut us all down the next day because there was an exposure in our other building. And I didn't have work at home capability. So I think that was a Wednesday, March 13th, and then I had to come back. They told us to stay home, and I had to come back that Friday and take my laptop home, and then I made it work a couple days till they got me set up to work from home, and that was it. So it was bizarre. It was totally bizarro, and then I found out when I went to an adult food and beverage establishment that the waitress behind the counter said, yeah, my husband went and bought 41 cans of Lysol to sell on the internet. And I'm like, shut up. So, yeah.
I've got a very timely okay. story for that.
Go ahead.
No, I do. And that's why I think we're coming out of this and everything's going to be fine sooner mm-hmm. rather than later. And I told my mother about this because the thing there was Lysol
yeah,
wipes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Lysol wipes. They used to be available 24/7, yeah. pretty much wherever you wanted. Well, I hadn't seen one on a shelf when I shop anywhere. I could finagle, you know, the online stuff a little bit with Amazon right. or whatever. And, you know, I pay a little bit more, but it would only allow me one every 2 to 4 right. weeks yep. or whatever. Right. I was in the grocery store this last Saturday evening, and I don't want to give them too much credit because they ticked me off in other ways over this past year. So I won't name them, but Saturday evening about 8 o'clock, lo and behold, the large size Lysol wipes just sitting there for a reasonable price. No shipping, no wait. It was right, just right there. So I just grabbed one and I bought it.
Well, I'm sure you remember I took pictures of my favorite grocery store that where you have to pay the quarter for the cart. So,
what?
I have
Which
no idea.
About? No, I know. Yeah.
So, I took pictures in there and I took pictures of the supermarket that rhymes with Rover. And,
I call it Codger.
That's funny. And then, I normally go into the big Michigan based one as well. And, I took pictures in Rover and the cart with a quarter in the paper aisle. And it was like Blizzard of 78 gone.
Yeah. But see, the thing is with, I don't even know what to rhyme this with. My food club membership.
Yes. Yes. Supply club membership.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. The ones that had the really, really great cheap cola a long time ago.
Yeah. Your bulk, don't sell your it bulk anymore. Supply store.
But,
yes.
Yes. Yes. But my yearly membership to them, which I pay a business mm-hmm. fare, they haven't been fully stocked with all this crap for a year. They're just now back online.
And I don't want to make you upset, Rob, but Indiana is now a blue state, so I don't make you upset for the COVID status.
Well, not according. Okay. All right. Whatever.
So we'll see.
Not according to Vigo County. Trump won this election. You go down to Terre Haute and you ask them. They've been right every election.
Well, last time I checked, Indiana State was all blue. So what you got?
Well, Indiana State can be all blue, but Vigo County voted for every single presidential candidate since its inception correctly. And this last one, they voted for Trump. So I'm just going to – okay. Finally, we're getting into some political.
He
danger.
Has his full with wood handle. He has the full metal axe to grind tonight.
We haven't even got.
I don't know if we're gonna have time to squeeze it in.
You know.
So you know.
I mean, there a lot's happening.
Yeah,
a lot's going on.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah,
I get it.
Oh, and I was on social media yesterday.
That's your first mistake.
Well, I qualified that with, you know, wasting time and spending my time that goes down the hole into nothingness. So, wasting time that goes down the hole into nothingness. Excuse me.
I've got a great segue after this, but I definitely want to hear this because you're hitting where I'm at. Right
so,
now.
Go ahead. The thing that was trending on social media was Helen Keller, and I'm like, I'll click that.
Okay, yeah.
Good. So I click on this, and it says, and some people bought into this, and I'm like, huh? And the line was on the posting was, we don't believe Helen Keller was real. And I'm like, what's your source? None. Zero. So, yeah, I'm like, come on now. I know they don't teach you about it in history class now, but give me a break.
Yeah. Good.
So I was kind of like on fire, and I'm like, come on, man. So there you go.
And there were so many ways I was going to go with that. And all of them were cruel and all that. And maybe that's why they don't teach it in school anymore, is because it's unfair to talk about somebody that couldn't see, couldn't hear, but was, guess what? Exceptional.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's kind of what burns me up. The point of the whole person's existence gets lost in all this crap that we're shoveling right now. But you know, the thing with social media is, I wanted to tie it in with flat earthers, you know, flat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They had that in there, you know, landed, the earth is flat and nobody landed on the moon and all that stuff. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. And so it's like, okay, either people have way too much time on their hands or, you know, there's just, it's almost like, well, the new shock jock, like a Howard Stern, or as some might say, a Rush Limbaugh to get famous. You know, there's everybody has a handle now to make their break, you know, and there's not much good coming of it.
And, you know, it's a really slow sports day when they talk about Aaron Rodgers' engagement, and I have to quote my Stuart Copeland of The Police made a solo album, and he has a song called Don't Care. Don't care. So yes. Yeah, that's what I was saying to that. So my quote, my follow-up quote for social media, that it's gonna be my quote from here on out. I don't know if you guys had the pleasure of seeing the musical, which I considered fantastic, and I'm not a big musical guy, but I really enjoyed it. Alexander Hamilton, I thought it was Ben Franklin and I was mistaken. Alexander Hamilton said, you must stand for something or you will fall for everything. End quote.
Yeah. I did get a chance to see that myself, and not a big musical fan myself, you know, and not really a big Hamilton fan myself, but the ending of that, I thought it was perfect. You know, Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton.
Yes, they were.
They were friends. And so, you know, that's when friends would take it to the to the end over principle or, you know, things that actually mattered.
But see, here's the thing.
So
I love Generation Z. My kids are Generation Z, right? They fall for everything. No boundaries. They fall for everything.
Right.
And I'm like, dude. So that's my soapbox for the day.
Yeah. Well, it's easier to fall for everything now than to be like a Rush Limbaugh or a Tiger Woods or Tom Brady. Okay. You know, and just.
Well, be you know why that is?
You know.
When I was in school, I was taught to be a leader, not a follower. And a lot of people would much rather be a follower. Much easier.
It's easier.
So, do you think I would have this show if I was a follower? No, not even close. No way.
No. I wouldn't have half the things I have. If I wouldn't have done twice the things I did, but on the same
on the same topic, I mean, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at if I had
without a doubt
more. You know,
oh, totally.
I don't know if that makes sense. So
Scott, you're a basketball coach. How do you lead?
I just emphasize, you know, that in the sense cliche, but there's right, no I in team.
Course.
You know, everybody's responsible for their role on the team. You know, no one person's more important right. than the other person on the team. And that's my philosophy as far as the philosophy yes, I sure. think while I'm coaching.
How do you apply that to your life? And if you want me to come back to that, I can. I'll let you think about it for a minute. Okay. Yeah. I told my kids, or you know, they're teenagers. I'm like, you're never going to get your dreams if you're a follower. It's not going to happen. So it's not going to fall in your lap. You got to go out and get it. Period. So,
yeah, in that age group, in that time, I'll give a story of where I was, let's say middle school through
right, sure.
my first year of college, right? That, I mean, when you're in college, you're still very impressionable and you're still looking because, you know, 30 years ago, that was still,
sure.
You know, You're still learning. I'm 30 years
right.
past that, and I'm still learning. So, but from the time of middle school, I took the SATs when I was in seventh or eighth grade. I had the Air Force.
Wow.
Knocking on my door.
Yeah.
In seventh or eighth grade, and it wasn't because I was some genius or anything else like that. It's because I answered some questions correctly more than
and you cheated with the number two pencil. I know.
Well, and I had Google and I had, you know, Twitter and, you know, Joe Biden had only been in office for whatever, 20 years before that. And so I'd call up his son, or well, I guess it wouldn't have been his son at the time, but anyways, I tried.
I have a great joke for that, but it has to be after the show.
Okay. All right. Deal. But when I was 16, because I'd been a stupid kid from eighth grade until I was 16, I'd done some things and what kids do. But around that time was recruiters
right.
started coming, knocking on my door saying, hey, let's go take this test. Hey, you want to sign up? You know, all this stuff. And I remember my dad stepping in and saying, no,
right.
you're not going that way. Because at that point I thought, okay, it's,
yeah.
I'm going to be a farmer or
sure.
I'm going into the military. Right. So, that's when my dad stepped in
right,
and
sure.
said, no, you're going to go to college. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Let's do that in 2 years. So, but the summer after my first year in college, when it had happened, a thing
oh,
called the
yeah,
Persian Gulf
War. Just never done that. I didn't go there, but I remember the time very well.
Yep, that happened between my first
right.
and second semester of college. But that next summer, we went to D.C.
Yeah.
and we saw all the sites. And
right.
we went to Arlington. And we saw all the sites there. And I remember what my dad said. Don't forget this. And we were doing the whole Saving Private Ryan thing.
That's
at
a fantastic movie. If you can get past the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's kind of my point is.
Of course
he
was.
My dad was a leader. He could mitigate this. Let me make my decisions. Let me make my mistakes. But at the end of it, you know, I could have very well have been in the first Persian Gulf War. And
I was really close
later,
to being
so.
In the National Guard. Which would have been even more of a nightmare. I was super close to being in the National Guard, and I scored really well on the test, and they gave me the BS line. I just said that on the air, didn't I? They gave me the bullcrap line. That they gave me the bullcrap. Bravo dog Samuel. Pile. I'll clean that dog up. Pile. Bravo Samuel line. Of, they said that you'd be an officer right out of basic training. And I'm like, oh, really? Well, yeah. Okay. And pay for your college. I'm like, okay. And my dad finally said, are you sure that we want to do this? And I'm like, no. So anyway, being a leader is getting out of your comfort zone. So, and I get it. If kids and teens want to fit in, I totally get all that. If they don't want to make any waves, I totally get all that. But, you're eventually going to have to stand up for what you believe in eventually. So, yeah.
The thing to go along with that is, I mean, that's not the age that you're wanting to stick out. I mean, there's very few that do, but okay. Going back to, for example, with Tiger Woods,
right.
He didn't know anything different. You know, he knew he was really good at golf from a teeny tiny, right? And he had all this media attention. So, you know, that positive feedback was ongoing and he embraced it. And there are people like that, but to take that and not just rest on the laurels, but to become a leader for what other golfers would look at and say, wow, that is something. And how do I do that? That's transformative. And really that's better than a GDM t-shirt that's worn in every sporting event right now about, you know, t-shirts are easy.
Yeah. When I knew in my life that I was a leader, and I was fortunate enough to do it early. When I was 15 years old, freshman at the original Anderson High School band, we had an asphalt parking lot that they just put new asphalt on. And we would get out there every June and July, and we would march and figure out all our marching formations, military style, more or less. And we would march from 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. That was part one, when our football team would get out there from 12 to 1. And we did this every day in the summer. And we would march from 6 p.m. at Northside Middle School, which is now closed, on the north side of town. Anderson was downtown. Northside Middle School from 6 to dusk. So that's 9 o'clock. So, you know, that's 6 hours a day. And my freshman year, I was riding my bike to these places. And so that was 1985. We won the State Fair Band Day Champions that year. And then we turned around and repeated in 86.
Yep. And my high school was there as well. I kind of walked into that because I believe it was around the same time my high school.
Yes.
I believe it was still a class system then, had pretty much done the same thing. And I entered high school in 86. And the first crack I had, because I was entering a band that had done awesome, we got invited to Gator Bowl that year. And so we played the halftime show, but I know exactly what you're talking about is, you know, there was some real dedication work and, well, at least from the teacher, expletives involved in all of that, because there was, you know, it's something. So, but yeah, where Jacksonville Jaguars play right now, it's a different stadium.
That's where we're
And going. I still have the Popeye forearms to this day because holding my tenor sax at attention. So, for
I gave that up. That the trumpet has been in the case for, I think I played it a little bit, maybe 5 years ago, when I was trying to help an emerging artist to come along. But it was for him, it was a full size bass. So I couldn't relate. But
I'm kicking my saxophone case right now. I bought one 4 years ago because my son took up the alto sax, and makes me. It's unfortunate I was only able to practice with him one time. So. But anyway,
well, we need to start a band. Scott, were you in the band at all? Piano, anything?
Scott, are you with us? Yeah, I see him too.
I hear Scott. I see Scott.
You guys hear me?
Yes. Were you musical at all?
Yep.
I was not in the band. No, I could hear you guys there. I don't know why you couldn't hear me.
Okay.
I was not in the band. No, I. Yeah. Past 5 or 6 years, I've been teaching myself to play the electric guitar, though. So.
Oh, nice.
Oh, we got a band. We got a band. All we need is a percussionist. Actually, okay, well, or the guy I told you that turned Mennonite, the tattoo of the Tasmanian Devil. If I can chase him down. Yeah,
I can play a little bit. He was the drummer. I can play a little bit of piano, but I do quite well at singing. I've been in a couple of church choirs, so I can hold my own.
Okay.
Carry a tune in a bucket when it comes to singing.
I think the first song we need to practice, we'll figure it out. Home sweet home.
we need no. If we're gonna do a debut song, it needs to have a little more punch. But we can do that second. So. You know, but
for anybody wanting to play the electric guitar, mm-hmm. the easiest song to learn,
yeah,
"Smoke on the Water."
Bow, 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 bow,
yep.
Bow, bow, yeah.
And I do not disagree with that. That's actually easy on the keyboard. I taught myself that song on the keyboard about the same time I was, you know, in middle school, entering high school, and no. I totally
and
agree.
My buddies have a local band called Chemo Blaze, and they have two albums on Spotify, and they're outstanding. And they were in the band with me, and you know, when they started playing for real, and when they started covers first, now they have originals. And when they started playing for real, it's like their music ability came totally back to them in like four months. 3 months?
Yeah.
So, and it never leaves you.
Yep.
I just don't have a diaphragm anymore. Well, too much pasta. So I can't play my tenor sax as much as I would like.
Well, mine is trumpet.
Oh, man. My embouchure was where you bite down on your lower lip. The embouchure for the tenor sax is over. That's all over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It would take me probably about not 4 or 5 months. It'd probably take me 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
to
no
get
doubt.
Because, yeah.
Why not?
But, I don't know. All right, well,
let's wrap this up. this episode of the Indies Local Flavor was brought to you by Ray Skillman and Josh Cones. His cell phone number is 317-665-6559. If you're looking for a new or used car, he'll be glad to help you out with that. I'm going there next, steer in, 1530 East 10th Street, Indianapolis, 46219. Phone number is 317-356-0996. I'm going to go get some home cooking. My grandmother used to make meatloaf because my grandfather was diabetic type 1. My grandmother used to make meatloaf, mashed potatoes, green beans, peas, every Sunday after church. And then my father, since he was diabetic, had to go in the other room and watch golf. And then we wouldn't eat ice cream, ladies and gentlemen. We would eat ice milk, which is a lower brand of ice cream.
She fixed all that. We had to eat the same thing every Sunday.
Because he was diabetic. And that's, you know, she mastered that ketchup on the meatloaf, brother.
Yeah. No, that's good because I'm type 2 diabetic and I'm contemplating meatloaf as far and as the recipe.
Meatloaf with barbecue sauce is the bomb. That's good info. So, anyway.
I'm actually going to be doing chicken wings with barbecue sauce and hot sauce here after this.
And Sweet Baby it's Race a chicken wing a kind slow, of day. Has a low sugar version now, and you can't really tell the difference.
Nice.
So you can find that any of your local Rovers or at your local grocery with a quarter or at your local Michigan based location. If you want a cool hat, some cool swag, college gear, or a cool Deer Creek t-shirt, make sure you check out the shop nd.com. They've got two locations, Broad Ripple and Clay Terrace. If you're looking for a date night, and here in our blue state, you can check out Charleston's in Castleton, 6815 East 82nd Street, 317-841-0442 at charlestons.com. Hey, if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to get out tomorrow night, go. Tapper's Arcade and Bar. They have every video game you could think of except for Punch-Out. You name it, they got it. Including my favorite Pulse position, 501 Virginia Avenue, number 102, Indianapolis, 46203. Ladies and gentlemen, they are doing Star Wars trivia tomorrow at 7 o'clock. If you like video games or Star Wars, that's your spot.
TK421.
Yes. With Robert Duvall. With Robert Duvall.
Oh, I might do that. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I went to my hometown. This last weekend, had dinner with my mom, and we had the meatloaf, and it was excellent here, and asparagus, and it was excellent here. And the crazy thing about this next restaurant, after the tip, the bill was only $26 for two people. I'm talking about Perkins Restaurant. I have a nice following of people in Anderson. They're at 5033 Scatterfield Road, and their phone number is a 765 642-2332. I talked to Chris Armstrong here last Saturday night. Good people. Go check them out if you happen to be in Anderson or you go to the track there in Anderson sometime. If you're looking for authentic Mexican food, it's El Jaripo, 30th East Washington Point Drive, 46229 here in Indy. Their phone number is 317-898-3921. Authentic Mexican food, you can't beat it. Dad's Kitchen in Broad Ripple. Tastes like home. Whether you're looking to sit in for a cup of coffee or on the run, Dad's Kitchen has your back. Inspired by quick and casual food, Dad's Kitchen is a mix of delicious Spanish, American, and Peruvian foods. They're a family-run business. 317-986-6209 at dadskitchenindy.com. I was on LinkedIn and I plugged them on Gary Dick's page and he said thanks. So there you have it. So last but not least, brothers, they have a new pizza at Giacomo's. It has pepperoni, large Italian sausage, red All onions, right. I believe.
All right.
And the kicker is Gouda cheese. And it's awesome. Okay, well, you can hold
the onions off and add
if you're going to Giacomo's, it was on their social media site, so there is some value there in social media. And ask for the Bandit Pizza. It's not on the menu; it's an off-menu item, but it's fantastic. Check them out at Fort Bend at 317-896-4445 Greenwood 317-883-8993 or in Irvington, my spot 317-356-6612. 11 to 9 is their hours for carryout delivery and dine in. Make sure you say hi to Katie or their manager, Mike, and they will treat you right. They also have adult beverages if you choose to do that. So it's a great place for a date, or if you got the kids, that's definitely great as well. So, any final words there, gentlemen? Not
is there
tonight.
Any way I could take a mud covered dog there? Okay. All right. Well, I was rethinking the chicken wing thing, but now we will revisit.
Maybe if you tied him out, if you called in for a carry out and kept him in the car with some covers or whatever, they would be down. They would be down for that. So
yeah, he ain't gonna like that. So I'll call him back later.
Yeah, you could definitely do a carry out.
We'll arrange some stuff. Yeah.
Take it home, that's for sure. So, but normally in the summer you could take it home and sit outside. So I know that for a fact. So
okay, all right. Well, I'm just gonna tell him to wait. That we're gonna go to the groomer.
Yeah, know. Or spring, either way. And we'll do it this summer. Scott, any final words?
Ponder pool.
Scott, are you with us? Bow, bow, bow.
I think he's playing the electric guitar.
On that note, oh man, I didn't write the closer. Let's see here. I'm a bad boy, as Daffy Duck would say. Okay, so today's episode is brought to you by the letter T, as in Tony the Tiger. Let's see, Joshua 1, and we hope he gets well, of course. Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and of course, 1 Peter 5:7. So for Rob and Scott, my name's Joe Carney for Andy's Local Flavor. Thank you again for listening. Thank you for everybody listening in the U.S. and the 20 countries that we've added to our show. We can't do it without you. If you want any ideas for our show, and we're going to do music tonight, but we ran out of time, feel free to send me an email. My email address is realraiderfan80@gmail.com. That's RealRaiderFan, the number 80@gmail.com. So for Robin Scott, my name's Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.